Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was hot.
Come on, you gotta help me with this. No, get over here.
Huh?
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio all over the country. We want to just say thank you to everybody and welcome. You know, today we're going to be talking about Sarita's going to help me out. I want to say special thanks to our producer, Erica. She's our producer today. Today we're going to be talking about Erica. How you doing?
All right.
Thank you very much. Yes. No. You sit there. That you. Huh? Oh, she goes to the. Okay. Yeah. So wait a minute. I asked a question for you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
We want to thank you. How you doing today?
I'm all right.
You doing all right? Okay.
Cold, but I'm all right.
A little cold out here. Yeah, trying to stay warm. Our show is produced by you, and we're talking about suicide. Did you want to interject anything before we let you go to your Coke and your sandwich and enjoy that? Did you want to say anything?
You know, suicide kind of hits home for me because I actually attempted twice when I was about 16, once when I was 14 and once when I was 16. And it was more of a cry for help than it was an actual attempt to end my life. But I ended up getting help, and I am okay now.
So can you talk about the signs of suicide, and what do you think some of the signs are?
A lot of it is talking about death, talking about, you know, the fact that I just have nothing to live for, I don't want to live anymore, that type of stuff. If you start giving stuff away, that means a lot to you. Like, one of my best friends, I gave her, you know, something that really meant a lot to the both of us. Because, you know, we had been best friends since I was, you know, little. And so, you know, she kind of knew something was up when I was willing to give that up, but I made sure I gave it to her. So she knew something was up, and she ended up actually calling my dad. So
that was a good thing that she seen that, wait a minute, you willing to give up something that you love?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that means something's going on.
Yep.
So good. So that's important. And I think it's important that we look for signs, because suicide takes nearly 30,000 Americans every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. So thank you, Erica. We're glad that you're alive and you're still with us. We're really excited about that. So what is your situation? Have you ever had any situations or any circumstances where you've had to deal with suicide?
Yeah, I had to deal with a nephew-in-law that eventually committed suicide. Well, he was reaching out for help a lot. I was talking to him on the phone almost daily. And I don't know, I kind of felt guilty about that one because I changed my number like I always do. And he couldn't get in touch with me, and I was like one of those people he was talking to and confiding in all the time. And I guess after that, a month later, he didn't have really nobody to really talk to and stuff like that.
So you felt like because you changed your number, And he couldn't really get in touch because he called you all the time and wanted to talk to you all the time.
It was like I said, he wanted to move up here with us, but the judge wouldn't let him come because he was on probation or something. So they wouldn't let him come up here.
And he couldn't reach you anymore, and so he just...
And I wasn't thinking about it because my life was busy, too. So it's like, it slipped my mind totally, really. I mean, I know I was talking to him daily, but, yeah. And so I think about that all the time,
Well, I'm dedicating this show to my nephew, Ryan, which committed suicide, and his funeral will be on Monday at Shiloh Temple International Ministries at noon, and I'm dedicating this show to him because, I'm going to miss him. He was a very good young man, very respectful young man. He had a lot going. You know, many people attempt suicide but never seek professional help. Did you know that? They never seek professional help. Why do you think that is?
I don't think they think anything is wrong with them like that. I think they just, when you get to that point, I think, I've never been to that point, but I think when you get to that point, you don't want help. I think you just, it's almost like you've cried out for help so much, maybe you see that you're not going to get the help you really want, and that's when you... I don't know. Those are just my opinions. I've never had those thoughts.
Well, it looks like we got a caller on the line, 7313, and we're going to find out who that is. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads Nationwide. Can I help you?
Yeah, this is Daniel Casterly. This is Mr. Smith I'm speaking to.
Hey, Daniel. Good to hear from you, man. We're talking about suicide today.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I almost tried that a couple years ago when I had my cancer.
And so what kind of advice could you give to someone?
You need to seek help. I mean, when you get to that point and you're that low, I mean, you yourself, I mean, it is a cry for help. Mine was a cry for help. It was either I was going to hurt myself or I was going to hurt somebody else.
And did somebody help you when you attempted? Who
helped
you?
I went and I checked myself in the Hennepin County in the psychiatric ward down there.
Okay. And what do you do now when you feel like, when you get like that or you feel like you want to commit, what do you do now to help you?
Now it's meditation. I learned that there's the walk-in center that's right off of Franklin on Chicago there, and it's an alternative instead of meds because they put me on all the antidepressants you could get, and I had all the side effects. I mean, I was living in my van at the time. I was going through the chemo. My nerve was severed. I mean, everything that I worked for. And I'm 48 years old, and I've been working since I've been 14. And everything I work for, I lost within a two-year period.
Wow, that's amazing. And I want to thank you for calling. I want you to stay on the line. We're going to talk a little more. I'll bring you back on. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great, great. I want to thank you, sir. That's really great. That's good information. You know, he's talking about where you go, how you can do that. Did you know there are twice as many deaths due to suicide than HIV and AIDS?
No.
I mean, because think about that. That's a lot of suicides. More than HIV and AIDS, there's more suicides. And so there's more of a reason for us to really help our young people because we found that between 1952 and 1995, suicide in young adults has tripled. What do you think? Why do you think that is?
I think because people fall apart and they don't really know how to wait on God to do what he's got to do in their life. Like, we all have bad times. And I think for some people, they just, when they fall down, they don't get up fast enough for themselves maybe, and they just fall apart. And instead of waiting on God, like I tell my friends all the time, I mean, there's ups and downs, you're going to have them. But you have to wait on those ups. Mm-hmm. If you're going down, you know, and I think some people, and I think it's that mental health issue. I think a lot of people are dealing with mental health issues. They should be taking some kind of pills, and they're not taking pills, so they react quicker than a person that's really taking care of themselves. Well, you know, we probably going to think about it before we think about something like that. And other people probably, I don't know.
Well, you know, you're probably right. You know, and I think it's important that we think about this now. They say over half of all the suicides occur in adult men between the ages of 25 and 65. My nephew was 23, and when he committed suicide, and so 25 to 65, that's a long range, though. That's a big range and a big gap. And in the month prior to their suicide, 70%, 75% of elderly persons had visited a physician. So most of these people, like you were saying, and I'm going to get my brother back on, because like you were saying, most of them have went to the doctor and found out something. Mm-hmm. And he found out he was going to have cancer. We'll bring my guest back on and talk a little bit about that. Welcome back onto the show, sir. Now, you were saying that when you found out you had cancer?
It was the losing of everything. I mean, I was the one in my family that when people needed help, I mean, my house was where people came and crashed. I mean, I was the rock of my family where they had, you know, to turn. And when you talk about the meds, I mean, I've been on every antidepressant, and you got to remember, and I've researched it, that you cannot mix antidepressants with an opiate. And they had me on Percocet, and I take straight morphine, and I take liquid morphine. And they had me on these meds, and I was fighting with the doctors because I was getting all the side effects. I mean, I was getting more suicidal. I quit taking the meds, and I found the walk-in center with alternative ways to deal with depression. And because it's with the financial issues out there, and the collapse of all the housings and stuff, everybody loses everything. And they have no place to turn anymore. I mean, you work so hard in your life to get to a point and then to have it all disappear so fast. And there's no programs out there that are fast enough to help you. Like me, I got stuck with you know, it's a family disease, so I couldn't get the unemployment stuff. I got work comp for a little while till they found out it was hereditary, so they cut me off of that. And then you've been working since you're 14 years old, you know, paying taxes, you serve your country, and then there's no place for you to turn. And everybody says, come back tomorrow, next week, you know, try again. But the meds, you have to be real careful when they put you on antidepressants, because some people, there's, I think it was like 47% of people cannot take antidepressants. That's why they all have, you know, the side effects. They tell you about the side effects. Be aware of the side effects. And it's something in my genes, and even with my children, I've seen it because there was a 2-year difference in between my oldest, or 2.5 years difference in between my eldest son and my two youngest sons were twins. So when they turned 16, they thought they were going to get the cars. They thought they were going to, you know, get everything that they seen their older sister and older brother get. And by that point, I lost it all. And they went into a depression, and they got put on that Adderall crap, and you look up Adderall, that's an amphetamine. I mean, they were bouncing off the walls, I mean, and then they got into the bad life and the thug life, and I explained to you when we were in your office, you know, what happened with my son. And I, you know, don't want to get into that. But with the children and stuff and all these doctors just sticking them on these drugs, and it's not the drugs issue. It makes it worse. I seen it in my own children. I seen it in myself. I mean, I had to fight with the doctors, and I got kicked out of the mental health program through Hennepin County because I refused to take the antidepressants that they were giving me, because either I was more suicidal than I was before, or else I wanted to go out and everybody I see, and I wanted to rip their freaking head off, you know? And there are
wow,
a lot of people that have that gene in them that they cannot take an antidepressant, and especially if you're taking an opiate with it.
So we're going to get back to you. We're going to get right back to you. Hold on. Just don't you go anywhere. So we just talked about a month before somebody commits suicide, 75% of those people had already visited a doctor and found out either some bad news or something that made them want to give up. Suicide rates in the United States are the highest in the springtime. So right after winter, just when the weather starts to break, suicide is highest. And I don't know what the reason is for that, but I want people to watch out in the spring. Watch out. Check with your family and see how people are doing. Check on them. We've got another caller in on 4989. 4989. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Well, great. Great. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. So glad to have you on Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about suicide and the effect it has on the community. You got some comments?
Oh, I sure do. I sure do. I hear you say it's a seasonal thing.
Well, they say it's the highest in the springtime.
Oh, you think so? I think the highest is in the wintertime.
Okay.
That's when I think it is.
Activities.
Pardon me?
Yeah, the Suicide Awareness Voice of Education, called SAVE, came up with these statistics, and they said that the numbers are higher in the springtime. But I think I tend to kind of agree with you. I think in Minnesota especially, you hear a lot of people sound depressed, sound like they're depressed. And I tend to agree with you that probably in Minnesota, I think it probably is higher in the wintertime.
Yes. Today I looked on Facebook, and my cousin had put her brother's picture up there, and he had committed suicide, and he hung himself, and he had been sick, going through mentally a lot of problems, and my aunt Nim had put him in the hospital in Wisconsin, and he hung himself in his room, in the hospital room. That they had him on a suicidal watch. So that right there, I said that to say, if it can happen so close up under people watching, we have children in the home, we have people in the home every day, and it's so many signs. If they are going to do what they're going to do, a lot of times it's not said, but you have to actually watch their conduct. And lately I've been around young people that are trying to commit suicide or have succeeded. And my heart goes out to the family, your family. Mr. VJ just lost your little nephew. And today I just looked up, and my cousin put my little cousin's picture up, and I'm like, oh, it's in my family too.
So one of the things is that we're just talking to about, thank you very much, Mama Trees, for calling in and talking about this, because one of the things that we found out is that the early detection, Erica was just talking about that she gave her best friend the one thing that her best friend kept saying, I want that, I want that, I want that, and she gave it to her, and she knew automatically something was wrong, and so she called her father, and her father intervened and prevented her from committing suicide. Sometimes the people that are close to you don't get that information, don't get that. So what can parents do to figure out how to get an early intervention on their kids. Mama Therese, do you have any advice?
Yes. Sometimes we can walk past the room and our kids can be in there watching TV or playing the games. And, you know, I know you can say, well, baby, what are you watching on TV? When you haven't seen a child in front of a TV for a long time and they said that they don't know what they're watching, that's a sign right then and there. Where is your mind? Where is the child's mind at? You know, it's a lot of signs, and we have to start observing our children, our loved ones, our elders. Look at the guy from Soul Train. He committed suicide. You know, Don Cornelius, it's happening all across the world, and we need to just start being more aware. And what's so sad about this is that just because it's knocking on our doors now, we want to pay attention. We have to be careful on our approach to different situations with loved ones, even with friends. We can say some things that can just destroy who they are, you know, and we can turn our ear to them and also not hear them crying out to us. So we now, in our world, we have to just wake up world, and be aware.
Well, thank you very much, Mama Therese. Over half of all the suicides are completed with a firearm, and so it's important to know that somebody has a firearm and they're looking depressed or feeling depressed, you need to try to make sure that firearm's not available to them so that they don't commit suicide. And for young people 15 to 24 years old, suicide is the third leading cause of death. From 15 to 24, suicide is the third leading cause of death. And suicide rates among the elderly are highest for those who are divorced or widowed. I just met a lady. She was homeless in her homeless ministry. And one of the things that she said is that she's homeless because her husband took care of everything. She didn't know what to do. She went right to the homeless shelter because she lost everything. She didn't know how to pay bills. She didn't know how to do anything. So she had to learn all this stuff all over again. And that was interesting. She said she wanted to die because she didn't know how to live without the better half. You know, that was the other half of her life. She'd been with for like 40-something years, and she didn't know how to do it. And so it's important to understand when you got people in your family that are either divorced or widowed, you need to come around them to support them. 80% of people that seek treatment for depression are treated successfully. But like this brother was saying, it hasn't always been successful. And a lot of us don't need medication for their depression. They need to exercise or do something different. Eat differently, be around people, go to church. Medication is not always the answer. You believe, you agree with that, Mama Therese?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's also good to grab a friend, grab a loved one, and bring them along, you know. And they might not say that they want to go or they want to even come, even if they say they don't want to come outside, you know. Do some inside with them. It's a lot of things that can be done around this time of the year. I've been a little depressed myself on things that's been happening in the community.
And so,
I've had my best friend to come in and scoop me up, and my best friend has been a real inspiration to my heart.
So what advice do you give to individuals that are feeling depressed, feeling like they want to give up, feeling like there's no hope? And let's talk to those that really can be inspired from your experience. What advice do you give them?
I give them get up, stand up, start moving, start going out in the public eye. Depression set in, you can get stuck. It's signs are you get tired. I would want them to just get up and start make themselves do things, wash dishes, do your hair, pout your toenails. Get up. We got to get up. And it's a must that society gets up, and we have to get up in so many ways. You know, life is supposed to be busy for us. We don't supposed to be still people.
Absolutely church. Right. I agree with that. Yes, church, for sure. We're going to come back to Mama Trees. You stay, with us. We're going to come back and do some closing remarks with Mama Trees before we're done. I want to just talk a little bit about, before I go to my other caller, about 15% of those who clinically are considered clinically depressed, 15%. That means 15 out of 100 of those that have been said they're clinically depressed die by suicide. Now think about that. You go to the doctor says, yeah, looks like you're depressed. You need to take this medicine or that medicine. Out of 100 people, those 15 of those people are going to die because they're going to commit suicide. There are an estimated 8 to 25 attempted suicides to one that's completed. So every time somebody attempts, every time somebody commits suicide, 25 people try. Okay, and the highest rate among men over 85 years old, 65 per is the highest suicide rate is among men over 85 years old. So they're tired, they're frustrated. You know, a lot of them got Alzheimer's. They just can't take it anymore. Their back doesn't work. You're tired of asking for a ride. You can't drive no more. You're just fed up with life. Do you know what it'd be like to depend on somebody for everything, and every time you called somebody, nobody wanted to help? That would be depressing. Now, you need to speak up. Now, we're on radio, so you can't just go shake your head.
I know.
So what do you think about that?
I don't know. My thoughts were stuck on the 15 to 24. I was kind of stuck on that.
That's
you know, the ages.
So 1 in 6,500 children ages 10 to 14 commit suicide every year. Okay, and substance abuse is a risk for suicide. So we have to remember that drugs is a risk for suicide, and the strongest factor for suicide is depression. People get depressed and don't care anymore. People get depressed and want to give up. I'm going to go back to my brother here, 7313. You got any closing comments you'd like to say about suicide and some of the facts we came up with, sir?
Yeah, you know, in Minnesota, you get, you know, help in the winter time. You know, you get less of the sunlight, the vitamin D that you're supposed to get. And yet in the springtime, why the suicide rate is higher is when your lights get turned off, your gas gets turned off again, because, and then you feel useless. I mean, I was at 45 years old. Like I said, I worked my whole life, and then to have nothing. I mean, you want to, that's a depressing thing to do. I mean, you lose your job. I mean, you can't afford to take care of your kids no more. And when them lights go off and you can't afford to pay that bill no more, it hits you hard.
Well, you know, I just want
to tell everybody, you know, get help. And if they put you on the meds, if you have any type of reaction, fight the doctor. Do not take the meds. And if you are taking an opiate, if you're going to the methadone clinic and they put you on antidepressants and you start getting the side effects, get off the antidepressants and seek help somewhere else. There's other clinics out there of alternative ways.
You're listening to Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads all over the world, all over the country. I'm so excited. Here's some warning signs. We're going to close out with some statements by Mama Tree, see what she's got to say. The risk are if there's been one or more attempts of suicide, family history of mental disorder or substance abuse, family history of suicide, family violence, physical or sexual abuse, keeping firearms in the home, chronic physical illness, including chronic pain, incarceration, exposure to suicide behavior by others. Those are the warning signs, and here's some things that's important. Always talking or thinking about death, clinical depression, losing interest in things that you used to care about, making comments about being hopeless, helpless, worthless, putting other affairs in order, typing up loose ends and changing a will, saying things like it would be better if I wasn't here or I want out, sudden unexpected switch from being very sad to being very calm and appearing to be happy about going away and giving up your life. Those things are warning signs. Mama Trees, close us out with some thoughts that you have. Well, that's not Mama Trees. Hold on, I got you right here. There you go, Mama Trees. Go ahead. Got you on the air. Yes, ma'am. Did we lose Mama Trees? I think we did lose her. So I think we did lose Mama Trees on the air. So anyway, we're gonna say thanks everybody for being on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back next Tuesday.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Badass, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the struggle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was knocking blue. Soldiers showing love on the...
Well, that's definitely the start. You come down and you talk to the case manager.